Leviticus 14 and beginning at verse 14. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger seven times before the Lord. And of the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you for this day. This service, Lord, has already been a blessing to us. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of coming together and worshiping you in spirit and in truth. I'm asking you, Lord, for the next few minutes, God, for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to rest upon me and upon this congregation as we receive your word today. God, open your word to us, as David said, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. For several days now, the Holy Spirit has been impressing on my heart the importance and the power of the blood of Jesus. I sense the Holy Spirit is trying to send a strong advance notice to the church to get back to the blood. Amen. And not only in our thinking, but in our speaking and in our living. Rahab the harlot saved herself and her entire family from destruction when she hung a scarlet thread from her window. That scarlet thread represents the blood of Jesus. The children of Israel saved their households from the death angel when they applied the blood of the lamb to the top and the sides of their doorposts. That blood was a symbol of the blood of Jesus. Everybody say, the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
Now, looking together today at our text, the Bible is dealing with the cleansing of the leper who comes to the priest. In the Old Testament, leprosy was a type of sin. And the scripture said the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And he will put it upon him, upon the leper. And so as I read this scripture, this text shows us something today. It shows us that the leper was not considered clean until the blood was applied. Somebody say, apply the blood.
Apply.
Hallelujah. After the leper was pronounced clean by the application of the blood, then the priest would apply the oil right on top of the blood. The oil was only applied where the blood was present. How many understand today that oil is a type of the Holy Spirit? And the importance to you and I is this. The Holy Spirit answers to the blood. Oh, hallelujah. Could you just lift your hands for just a minute? Because I feel the Holy Spirit's taking us somewhere today. Come on, just lift your hands and thank him for the word and thank him for the blood today. God, we just praise you and we thank you for the word today and we thank you for the blood today. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit answers to the blood. The Holy Spirit witnesses to the blood. The Holy Spirit honors the blood. The Holy Spirit testifies to the blood. The Holy Spirit waits for the blood. Oh, Yadavoshai. In other words, the Holy Spirit only comes where the blood has been applied. Oh, hallelujah. First it's the blood and then it's the oil. Oh, let me just say it this way. No blood, no oil. No blood, no power. No blood, no anointing. No blood, no peace. No blood, no authority. No blood, no joy. No blood, no protection. I'm not done yet. Oh, hallelujah. No blood, no salvation. No blood, no justification. No blood, no deliverance. And no blood, no sanctification. Let me make it plainer. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It takes the blood. There's nothing but the blood of Jesus that can wash away your sin. Who Look at your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. There is no Pentecost without a Passover. You've got to go to Calvary before you can get to the upper room. The pathway to power is soaked in blood. If you want to walk in power with the Lion of the tribe of Judah, you first have to be covered in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. I'm no shy. I just feel the Holy Ghost today. I'm talking about the blood. There's something that happens when I start talking about the blood. I love the blood. I thank God for the blood. I know we're all modern today, and we've got access to the libraries of the world at our fingertips. We can flip on the TV at any time, day or night. We can hear someone preaching or teaching the Word. We got Bibles on our iPads, our tablets, our phones. We can study the Hebrew and the Greek meaning of Bible words right from our cell phones. We're in a hear-it-all, see-it-all, know-it-all generation. But there's something our forefathers, our grandmas, our grandpas knew that many of us have forgotten, and that is they understood the importance of living under the blood. Oh, Shatabahaya. Hallelujah. There was blood on everything. Grandma plead the blood on the cows and the chickens. They plead the blood on their garden. Hallelujah. They plead the blood on the car. They plead the blood on your bicycle. Glory to God. There's blood everywhere. Everywhere you look, there's blood. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The cat and the dog are under the blood. Hallelujah. You've got to know that the importance of living under the blood. Come on, shake your neighbor and tell him you better get under the blood. You better get under the blood. You may have a pretty church. You may have a pretty pulpit. You may have talent. You may have skill. You may have knowledge. You may have position. But without the blood, you have no power. Without the blood, you're dead. Oh, koshataba. I don't care how big, how muscular, how pretty the body may be. Without the blood, the body is dead. And I'm here to tell you today, it doesn't matter how big or how beautiful your church may be. Without the blood, it's dead. You may have beautiful singing, great enthusiasm. You may even have educated preachers. But if you don't have the blood, you're nothing but a corpse. Oh, shataya. Just like a body dressed up by the undertaker to look good for a funeral. Without the blood, you're dead. Look at your neighbor and tell him you gotta have the blood. Woo! Hallelujah! It's the blood. Have you ever wondered why there's such a fascination today in the world over zombie movies? Dressing like a zombie, acting like a zombie. Even our commercials are advertising zombies. I thought to myself, why in the world is there such a fascination over zombies? And I felt the Holy Spirit tell me why. It's because the church, on a large scale, are you ready now? Everybody buckled up. I told you last week, sometimes you've got to get ready for this stuff. It's because the church has, on a large scale, become zombies. Zombies are the living dead or the walking dead. That's what any church, any Christian without the blood is, they are walking dead. Any church, any preacher, any pastor, any believer who does not love the blood of Jesus is nothing but a spiritual zombie. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and say it. There's no such thing as a Christian without the blood. Jesus said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. It's the blood. The gospel is a bloody gospel. Calvary was bloody. The cross was bloody. Jesus' blood poured out of his body. Jesus carried his own blood into the holy place, and he offered it in heaven upon the mercy seat of God. And God accepted Jesus' blood as an offering for sin. And it's by and because of that blood that we are saved today. Hallelujah. We're washed by the blood. We're sanctified by that blood. We're justified by that blood. We're redeemed by that blood. We're protected by that blood. We're delivered by that blood. Our conscience is cleansed by that blood. We're healed by that blood. No wonder the songwriter was moved to pen the words. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood. They lose all guilty stains. Oh, they're guilty stains. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's power in the blood. Somebody say power in the blood. Then another songwriter, quickened by the Holy Spirit, wrote these words. Come ye sinners, lost and lonely. Jesus' blood can make you clean. For he saved the worst among you when he saved a wretch like me. Then he was moved by that same Holy Spirit. And he went on and said, oh, yes, I know. Yes, I know. Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know. Yes, I know. Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. I'm here to tell you today, one drop of his blood will wash away your sin. I don't care what that sin is. I don't care if it's homosexuality. I don't care if it's drunkenness. I don't care if it's fornication or adultery. I don't care if it's lying or stealing. I don't care if it's murder. There's so much power in the blood of Jesus that one drop of his blood will make the vilest sinner clean. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Hundo Shai. I'm really not trying to be mean or hurt anybody's feelings, but I believe this message can be the difference between heaven or hell. You may quit smoking and drinking and slipping and sliding, peeking and hiding. You may dress up and carry a Bible and sing on perfect pitch. You may look good, smell good, and feel good. But if you haven't been to Calvary, you're lost. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you haven't had your sins washed away by his blood, then you're lost. And if you die in that condition, you'll go to hell. Listen, friend, God is going to hold us preachers responsible that don't tell the truth. The most important thing in your life is not a new car, a new house, a new wife, or a new self-esteem. The most important thing in your life is your soul. Where is your soul going to spend eternity? Have you been to Jesus? Oh, for the cleansing power. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you daily trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, Rashikata. I hear the Holy Spirit saying, lay aside those garments that are stained with sin. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and thank him for the blood right now. Oh, I thank you for the blood today, Jesus. I thank you for the blood. Oh, yeah. Shata Laboshai. The reason why many of our churches today are lifeless and powerless, and they got to have all kinds of theatrics and lights and all kinds of wizardry and all kinds of stuff is because they're anemic. They're weak-blooded. They have a blood deficiency. There's no blood in their preaching. There's no blood in their singing. And there's no blood in their testimony. But the Bible tells me in Revelation 12 and 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You got to get some blood in your testimony. You got to get some blood in your preaching. You got to get some blood in your singing, because it's only the blood that'll back the devil off of you. It's only the blood. Oh, Shikalaha. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll tell you. If you want to see the power of God in the church again, talk about the blood. Sing about the blood. Testify about the blood. Preach about the blood. Look for the blood. If you're looking for a church, look for the blood. Glory to God. I wouldn't go to a church where they didn't talk about the blood. I wouldn't go to a church where there's no song about the blood. That's what the Holy Spirit is looking for. First the blood, then the oil. That's what the Holy Spirit is asking every church. Where is the blood? You say you're my church. Where's the blood? You say you're the body of Christ. Where's the blood? Just as surely as the death angel passed through Egypt and death came to every house where the blood was not applied, death is passing through the land today, and the only safe place is under the blood. Oh, friend, listen, death is coming to every house that is not under the blood. And it doesn't matter how religious that house is. It doesn't matter what kind of house it is. A schoolhouse, a crack house, a penthouse, the White House, or the church house. The only house that's safe is the house that's under the blood. You better get under the blood, my friend. You better get your house under the blood. You better get your children under the blood. You better get your family under the blood. And when we get back under the blood, we'll get back under the power. Somebody say power.
Power.
In the blood.
In the blood.
Hallelujah. When we get back under the blood, we'll get back under the power. First it's blood. Then it's glory. First it's Passover. That's where the blood was shed and put on the doorpost. Then it's Pentecost. First it's blood. Then it's power. Blood on the right ear. Blood on the right thumb. Blood on the big toe of the right foot. And blood on the head. Hallelujah. Blood everywhere. And then oil. Oh yeah, then oil. First it's cleansing, then it's power. There's a spirit loose in many of our churches today that's trying to strip the blood of Jesus out of our lives. This spirit goes so far as to deny the need for the blood of Jesus because you're already saved, it says. And there's no need for repentance because your sin is already covered by the blood, past, present, and future. But the Bible says to you and I in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth them and forsaketh them shall have mercy. What are you trying to tell me, preacher? Let me just tell it to you. Let me make it simple. The blood can only cleanse what you confess, and the blood can only remove what you repent of. And it's more than just confessing, it's forsaking. And repentance is more than just saying I'm sorry. Repentance is a new way of living. Repentance is an about face. Somebody say about face. Somebody say go the other way. Hallelujah. Another part of that message is that repentance is just changing your mind. It's just a new mindset, they say. But the truth is, repentance that doesn't culminate in a changed life is no different than a pig in the wallow who thinks to himself, it sure would be nice to be all cleaned up, but never makes an effort to get out of the mud. You may change your mind 1,000 times a day, but true repentance has fruit and actions and evidence of a changed life. True repentance is the doorway through which God's grace enters to empower you to quit sinning. Somebody say, thank God for grace, and thank God for the blood. This must be the church's finest hour. I said, this must be the church's finest hour. And in order for this to be our finest hour, we have got to have Pentecostal power. And the only way to get the power is through the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. The cross, everybody say the cross. The cross is the doorway to power. If there had been no Calvary, there had been no cross, there had been no crucifixion, then there would have been no blood, and there would have been no resurrection, and there would have been no Pentecost, and there would be no power. Oh, Rishanabaka, I think you need to lift your hands again and thank God for the blood. Oh, Shatalabadio Shatalabakaya. Lord, I thank you for the blood. Lord, we honor the blood of Jesus. We honor the blood of Jesus in our lives, on our children, on our family, on our homes, on our church, Lord. We honor the blood. The cross is the doorway to power. There's no shortcut to power. There's no testimony without a test. There's no victory without a fight. There's no crown without a cross. And there's no power without blood. But thanks be to God, that crimson river still flows from Calvary. Thanks be to God That cleansing tide still flows from the Savior's side. And because His blood still flows, His power is still being poured out. I'm trying to tell you today, if we're going to have the power of God, we've got to get back under the blood. If we're going to see the miracles of God, if we're going to see the signs and the wonders, if we're going to see the glory of God, we've got to get back under the blood. We've got to get our church under the blood. We've got to get our minds under the blood. You better get your TV under the blood. You better get your internet under the blood. You better get your phone under the blood. You better get your body under the blood. You better get your car under the blood. Oh, Shabbat. It's the blood of Jesus, my friend. The Holy Spirit bears witness to the blood. The Holy Spirit is wanting to pour out His Spirit. He's wanting to move today like He's never moved before. But I'm telling you what He's looking for. Do they honor the blood there? Is the blood in that church? Is the blood behind that pulpit? Is the blood in their songbooks? Do they sing about the blood? Do they talk about the blood? Do they testify about the blood? Because if I can find the blood, I'll give them the power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know something? I used to judge my success, how good a preaching I did, and how much people said amen. And how happy they got. And how excited they got. And how much they clapped their hands. But I found out when you get to preaching sound doctrine, sometimes people don't shout. Sometimes people don't clap their hands. Sometimes they don't want to dance or run around. The Bible says in the last days, He said they won't want to hear sound doctrine. He said they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll just go look for the teacher that'll scratch their itch. They go look for the teacher that'll make them feel good. So when they can leave, they say, oh, that felt good. But you know what I really like when I leave church? And I feel like I've been scrubbed real good. I feel like the Word has got a hold of me like Mama did when I was a kid. And she said, did you wash behind your ears? And I said, yeah. She said, come here, let me look. She looked in my ear at me. She said, you didn't wash behind your ears. She said, you grow potatoes back there. And she'd take her finger and lick it. And then she'd start going, she'd rub it raw. And then she'd pull it out and show me all the dirt. And she said, you go wash your ears. You haven't passed the inspection. I'm telling you, I'm just going to be honest with you. My heart cries today for truth. For truth. For pure, simple, gospel truth. Paul the Apostle said, I'm afraid lest you be moved away from the simplicity of the gospel. I'm afraid lest the enemy through subtlety move in and move you away from the simplicity of the gospel. I understand that there are depths of knowledge and depths of truth in the Word of God. I understand that. I understand that there are things that it takes time, it takes years of study. But the doctrines, the basic doctrines of our faith are put right up on the surface. And the Bible says that He has made the way so clear that a wayfaring man, even though he was a fool, could find it. He's made it so clear that a child can hear it, believe it, and live by it. I thank God for the blood. I'm closing with saying this today. And Brother Frank, Brother Al, would you move back, please, to the sacraments and bring them. Communion elements forward. The devil isn't afraid of our singing, and he isn't afraid of our shouting. He's not afraid of our dancing. He's not even afraid of our preaching. But there's one thing I can tell you that sends shockwaves through hell, and that's a church that lives by the blood of the Lamb. A church that knows how to plead the blood. A church that knows how to wage war by the power of the blood. Yes. Yes. He told Abishai, come on, lift your hands one more time. I want you to just reverence the Holy Spirit and honor the blood in this house. Lord, we honor that blood, that precious blood that you shed, that blood that gives us life. Jesus, you said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. God, we want your life. We want your power. We want your presence. We want your anointing. We want your glory. We want you to be pleased with us as individuals, as the pastor of this church, as the minister of the gospel, as people, as laity, Lord. We want you to be pleased with us. We want you, Lord, to honor us with your presence and your power. So we honor your blood. Would you stand with me today? It's the blood.